Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day.
With you.
In podcast land, we welcome you. Thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge production. This is the Messenger Edition with co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. This is Nurse Carmen. And again, we thank you for tuning in. And next, we will have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in. Thank you for taking the time to download to listen to this message. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about death. Now, I know death is a scary subject for a lot of folks, but this is something that is really important that you need to come to understand, come to accept. And once you can accept this regarding death, you can live better, because then the fear of death is no longer with you. So the question is, what happens when you die? And I'm here to tell you that what happens is whatever you choose to happen happens when you die. You don't think just because you died, you stop creating. If you do, then what's happened is you've forgotten, which is great, that everything's gone according to plan. When you die, you do not stop creating. That's just the bottom line. You do not stop creating. The reason you do not stop creating when you die is that you don't ever die. You cannot. For you are life itself, and life cannot be not life. Therefore, you cannot die. So at the moment of your death, what happens is you go on living. This is why so many people who have died do not believe it, because they do not have the experience of being dead. On the contrary, they feel, because they are very much alive, so they're confused. The self sees the body lying there, all crumbled up, not moving, yet the self is suddenly moving all over the place. It has the experience often of literally flying all over the room, then of being everywhere in the space all at once. And when it desires a particular point of view, it suddenly finds itself expressing that. If the soul, the name we will now give to the self, wanders, gee, why is my body not moving? It will find itself right there, hovering over the body, watching the stillness curiously. If someone enters the room and the soul thinks, who is that? Immediately the soul is in front of or next to that person. Thus, in a very short time, the soul learns that it can go anywhere with the speed of its thought. A feeling of incredible peaceful freedom and lightness overtakes the soul. And it usually takes a little while for the entity to get used to all this bouncing around with every thought. If the person had children and should think of those children, immediately the soul is in the presence of those children, wherever they are. Thus the soul learns that not only can it be wherever it wants with the speed of thought, it can be in two places at once, or three places, or five. It can exist, observe, and conduct activities in these places simultaneously, without difficulty or confusion. Then it can rejoice itself, return to one place again, simply by refocusing. The soul remembers in the next life what it would have been well to remember in this life, that all effects is created by thought, and that manifestation is a result of intention. So what you focus on, your attention becomes reality. That's important for us to understand. It becomes reality, what it is that we put our attention on. This is why we can have and do whatever it is that we want to do if we believe. Difference is the speed with which you experience the results. In the physical life, there might be a lapse between thought and experience. In the spiritual realm, there is no lapse. Results are instantaneously. Newly departed souls therefore learn to monitor their thoughts very carefully, because whatever they think of, they experience. I use the word learn here very loosely, more as a figure of speech than an actual description. The term remember would be more accurate. If physicalized souls learn to control their thoughts as quickly and as efficiently as spiritualized souls, this whole world would change. In the creation of individual reality, thought control, or what some might call prayer, is everything. Prayer. Thought control is the highest form of prayer. Thought control is the highest form of prayer. Therefore, think only on good things and righteousness. Dwell not in negativity and darkness. And even in moments when things look bleak, especially in those moments, seek only perfection. Express only gratefulness. And then imagine only what manifestation of perfection you choose next. In this formula is found tranquility. Tranquility. In this process is found peace. In this awareness is found joy. That's extraordinary. That's an extraordinary piece of information that I just shared with you. With this formula, you will find tranquility. You will find peace and awareness. Now, just to recap, souls released from the body quickly remember to monitor and control their thoughts very carefully, for whatever they think of, that is what they create and experience. I say again, it is the same for souls still residing with the body, except the results are usually not as immediate. And it is in the time lapse between thought and creation, which can be days, weeks, months, or even years, which create the illusion that things are happening to you, not because of you. This is an illusion, causing you to forget that you are at cause in the matter. As I've described several times, this forgetting to build into the system, it is part of the process, for you cannot create who you are until you forget who you are. So the illusion causing forgetfulness is an effective created on purpose. When you leave the body, When you leave the body, it will therefore be a big surprise to see the instant and obvious connection between your thoughts and your creation. It will be a shocking surprise at first, and then a very pleasant one, as you begin to remember that you are at cause in the creation of your experience, not at the effect of it. So you say, why is there such a delay between thoughts and creation before we die and no delay at all after we die? Because you are working within the illusion of time. There is no delay between thought and creation away from the body because you are also away from the perimeters of time. In other words, as you have said so often, time does not exists. Not as you understand it. The phenomenon of time is really a function of perspective. You have caused it by moving into, by assuming your present perspective. You use this perspective as a tool with which you can explore and examine your experience much more fully by separating them into individual pieces rather than a single occurrence. Life is a single occurrence, an event in the cosmos that is happening right now. All of it is happening everywhere. There is no time but now. There is no place but here. Here and now is all there is. Yet you choose to experience this magnificence of here and now in its every detail and to experience your divine self, the here and now creator of that reality. There were only two ways, two fields of experience in which you could do that, time and space. So magnificence was this thought that you literally exploded with delight. In that the explosion of delight was created space between the part of you and the time it took to move from one part of yourself to another. In this way, you literally tore yourself apart to look at the pieces of you. You might say that you were so happy you fell to pieces. You've been picking up the pieces ever since. And so this is why life is just putting together the pieces, trying to see if they make sense. And it is through the device called time that you have managed to separate the pieces, to divide the individuals, thus to see it and experience it more fully as you are creating it. Even as you look at a solid object through a microscope, seeing that it is not solid at all, but actually a conglomerate of a million different effects, different things all happening at once, and thus creating a larger effect. So, too, do you use time as the microscope of your soul? Consider the parable of the rock. Once there was a rock filled with countless atoms, protons, neutrons, and subtrons, particles of matter. These particles were racing around continually in a pattern, each particle going from here to there and taking time to do so, yet going so fast that the rock itself seemed to move not at all. It just was. There it laid, drinking in the sun, soaking up the rain, and moving not at all. What is this inside of me that is moving, the rock asked. It is you, said a voice from afar. Me, replied the rock. Why, that is impossible. I'm not moving at all. Anyone can see that. Yes, from a distance, the voice agreed. But way over here, you do look as if you were solid, still not moving. But when I come closer, when I look very closely at what is actually happening, I see that everything that comprises what you are is moving. It is moving at an incredible speed through time and space in a particular pattern which creates you as the thing called rock. And so you are like magic. You are moving and not moving at the same time. But, Astor Rock, which then is the illusion? The oneness, the stillness of the rock, or the separativeness and the movement of its parts? To which the voice replied, which then is the illusion? The oneness, the stillness of God, or the separativeness and movement of its parts? And I tell you this, upon this rock I will build my church. For this is the rock of ages. This is the eternal truth that leaves no stone unturned. God has explained it all for you here in this podcast. This is the cosmology. Life is a series of minutes, incredibly rapid movements. These movements do not affect at all the immobility and the beingness of everything that is. Yet, just as with the atom of the rock, it is the movement which creates the stillness right before your eyes. Now, for this distance, there is no separation. There cannot be, for all that is all there is, and there is nothing else. God is the unmoved mover. From the limited perspective from which you view all that is, you see yourself as separate and apart. Not one unmovable being, but many, many beings constantly in motion. Both observations are correct. Both realities are real. But when I die, I don't die at all, but simply shift into awareness of the microns, where there is no time or space, now and then, before and after. So it's important for us to understand. Now, I know I said a mouthful and it got a little deep, but I really want, if you can, to download the podcast and go back and listen to it a little bit slower so that you can understand just what it is that I'm trying to say to us. Because we have to understand, when I say that we are part of the body of God, it's just like with the rock. You see that rock sitting there, but you don't see the rock moving. But if anybody would take the time to put that rock under a microscope, then you will be able to see movement in that rock. And that's the same way it is pertaining to us. That movement, this thing that we're called living our lives right here, it's movement in the body of God. We are not separated from God. We are one. And so that's why when we die, when the soul comes out of this body, then it begins to understand the power that it possessed. Now, it still has that power, but because of our doubt, our disbelief, we don't allow the soul to be the soul, to exercise the power and authority that was given to him. That was his natural birthright. We don't allow that. The body holds us down because we think that that's who we are. That shell that we see in the mirror, we think that that's who we are. And because we think that that's who we are, that is the limitation that we apply to ourselves. But we got to know that there is nothing that we can't do.
Amen.
There is a scripture that says, I can do all things. Now, I'd like to say through Christ that strengthens me, and I'm okay with that because Christ and God are one. But what you have to understand is not only is Christ and God one, but you and God are one.
That's right. And me.
And when you understand that, then you can better understand that you can do all things.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand, take the blinders off from all of the stuff that we've been taught, the stuff with religion and stuff holding you back. This is what is holding you back. As you look at the rock at your feet, you see the rock right then and there as whole, complete, and perfect. Yet, even in the fraction of a moment that you hold that rock in your awareness, there is a lot going on within that rock. There is incredible movement at the incredible speeds of the the particles of that rock. And what are these particles doing? They are making that rock what it is. As you look at this rock, you do not see this process, even if you are conceptually aware of it. To you, it is all happening now. The rock isn't becoming a rock. It is a rock right here, right now. Yet, if you were the consciousness of one of the submodular particles inside that rock, you would experience yourself moving at that same speed, first here, then there. And if some voice outside the rock said to you, it is all happening at once, you would call it a liar or a charlatan. Still, from the perspective of a distance from the rock, the idea that any part of the rock is separate from any other part and further is moving around at insane speed would appear to be the lie. From the distance could be seen what could not be seen up close. That all is one, and that all the movement hasn't moved anything. So you have to grasp this. What it's saying is that life is all a matter of perspective. If you continue to see the truth, you will begin to understand the micro reality of God, and you will have unlocked the secret of the whole universe. All of it is the same thing. The universe is a molecule in the body of God. That's for right now. We want to use that as a theory to look at. The universe is a molecule of God, of the body of God. Yet even the micro reality to which you return is but a micro reality of an even larger micro reality, which is a smaller part of a larger reality still, and so on and on forever and ever, even forevermore, world without end. You are God, the it that is, constantly in the act of creating ourselves, constantly in the act of being what we are now, until we aren't that anymore, but become something new. Even the rock will not be a rock forever, but only what seems like forever. Before it was a rock, it was something else. It fossilized into that rock through a process taking hundreds of thousands of years. It was once something else and will be something else again. The same is true of you. You were not always the you that you are now. You were something else. And today, as you stand here in your utter magnificence, you truly are something else again. So, this whole explanation rolled out when the single topic of death came up. How come time exists and when we're in the body, but not when the soul is released? And what you seem to be saying is that time really perspective, that it neither exists nor ceases to exist, but that as the soul alters its perspective, we experience ultimate reality in a different way. Now, at the micro level, it seems like seeing the rock and seeing the movement within the rock, there is no time between the movement of the atoms and the appearance of the rock it creates. The rock is, even as the moment occurs, indeed, because the movement occurs. This cause and effect is instant. The movement is occurring and the rock is being all at the same time. This is what the soul realizes at the moment of what we call death. It is simply a change in perspective. You see more, so you understand more. After death, you are no longer limited in your understanding. You see the rock and you see into the rock. You will look at what now seems to be the most complex aspects of life and say, of course, it will be very clear to you. Then there will be new mysteries for you to ponder. As you move around the cosmic wheel, there will be larger and larger realities, bigger and bigger truths. Yet, if you can remember this truth, your perspective creates your thoughts, and your thoughts create everything. And if you can remember it before you leave the body, not after, your whole life will change. Now, I need to say that again because this is important. If you can remember this truth, your perspective creates your thoughts, and your thoughts create everything. And if you can remember it before you leave the body, not after, your whole life will change. A different perspective, and you will have a different thought about everything. In this way, you will have learned to control your thoughts. And in the creation of your experience, controlled thoughts is everything. Some people call this constant prayer. You've said this, I've said this before, but I don't think I've ever thought of prayer in this way. And why not? Why not see what happens if you do so? If you imagine that the controlling and directing of your thoughts is the highest form of prayer, you would think only on good things and righteousness. You would dwell not in negativity and darkness, though you might be immersed in it. And in a moment when things look bleak, perhaps especially in those moments, you would seek only perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving you tools. With these tools, you can change your life. I am repeating the most important of them over and over again. I am repeating them, for repetition will produce recognition, knowing again when you need it most. Everything that occurs, everything that has occurred, is occurring and will and ever will occur. It is the outward physical manifestation of your innermost thoughts, choices, ideas, and determination regarding who you are and who you choose to be. Condemn not, therefore, those aspects of life which you disagree. Seek instead to change them and the conditions that made them. Behold the darkness, yet curse it not. Rather, be a light unto the darkness, and so transform it. Let your light so shine before men that those who stand in the darkness will be illuminated by the light of your being. And all of you will see at last who you really are. Be a bringer of the light, for your light can do more than illuminate your own path. Your light can be the light which truly lights up the world. Shine on, that the moment of your greatest darkness may yet become your grandest gift. And even as you are gifted, so too will your gift others, giving to them the unspeakable treasures themselves. Let this be your task. Let this be your greatest joy, to give people back to themselves. Even in their darkest hours, especially in their darkest hour, the world waits for you. Heal it. Now, in the place where you are, there is much you can do. For my sheep are lost and must now be found. Be ye therefore as good shepherds and lead them back to God. I thank you for this podcast. I didn't get to play our closing song tonight, but I do want to thank those that tuned in tonight. I thank you, Nurse Carmen, for joining in. And I pray that those that downloaded will get something that will enlighten them, that they can continue to be the best of who they really are or who they choose to be. God, continue to bless you. And we look forward to talking to you again Thursday, 9 o'clock. Take care, love you, and good night.
Good night. Love you too. Good night.